Hello and welcome to They Think It's All Doha with Eco Frenzy. I'm joined by three of Eco Frenzy's finest. I have got Erin. Erin, you often make many appearances by name in Over the Trent. You've made an appearance. Touchdown, you've made an appearance after watching Dolphins miraculous. What's the word?
Meticulous?
Miraculous.
Miraculous.
Miraculous win over the Baltimore Ravens. Mm. This is your first full sports podcast.
It's the first time you've let me speak on a podcast.
Yes, it is, for many good reasons.
Normally, she has to sit there in silence. Yeah. Oh, yeah. While Dom just peers over her shoulder.
You joke. She has genuinely sat on the bed behind me whilst we recorded the sticky wickets and then didn't have a clue what we were talking about. She just had her headphones in, refused to listen. Yeah. Thank you.
Good. I've also walked in on several podcast recordings.
Yeah, that was interesting. Gabby is also here. Gabby, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Tom. How are you?
Thank you for asking. That's what
You didn't ask how I was.
Georgia, how are you? This is the first time I think we've actually done a podcast together.
Yeah.
World Cups, thoughts, feelings, emotions.
I can't say I'm a big football fan, although I was a football fan for the Women's World Cup.
Yep.
A football fan for. Since gone off the edge again. But my thoughts and feelings on it environmentally, I have thoughts and feelings on them. That's but I don't perfect. Want to steal the intro.
Now, this is a sports podcast, but it will be going out on both Eco Frenzy and the URN Sport podcast feed. I'm going to ask you guys some sports questions. When was the first FIFA Men's World Cup? Anyone?
1864.
No, not 60.
I said 50.
Still wrong.
1928
is the closest. It was 1930. It was held in Uruguay, where all the teams went by boat. They all got on the same boat, so that was quite environmentally friendly.
That's very Greta Thunberg about it.
Yeah. I think you guys would like that.
It's so Greta.
Yeah. And what like a team spirit for them all to go together. Yeah. And make friends.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
can we have more of that?
Did they get all the same boat back?
That's the question.
I don't know, because obviously teams leave a tournament early.
Yeah. Yeah. Did they fly back?
Well, yes. I don't think they had aviation.
When did aviation start?
No, they were flying in the 30s.
Yeah, but not like commercial. This is the aviation podcast you're enjoying right now. But okay, I'm going to ask you about the modern World Cup 2022. Who is going to win the World Cup in the men's tournament? Georgia, thoughts? Could it be England? Is it coming home?
No.
No?
I don't have much faith. I got too excited about the Euros, and now I don't want to put my hopes and dreams in England because they're just going to disappoint me.
Mm.
I'm sorry.
That's the most mature England fan answer for someone who doesn't like football. That lies, Georgia. Gabby. Come on, hit me.
Yeah, well, similarly, I don't think it's going to be England because I think it's a poor effort from us. We had quite a good team the past two.
Yeah.
And we still lost.
And now, you just don't see it getting better. You don't see the improvement.
I don't see improvement. The 2019 World Cup was, I think, the time I was most invested in it. And I was actually in Cuba at the time on holiday when England lost.
Oh, wow.
And I've never seen so many British people congregated in Cuba before.
Yes.
Just sort of around a TV. I then just, obviously it was all at funny times. I then just, my dad then just swam out to sea. The rest of the afternoon.
That feels like the end of a dramatic book.
It really was. And we just didn't see him. And like me, my mum and my sister were like, I was like, where's dad? And mum was like, well, England had just been kicked out of the World Cup. So, well, you'll see him tomorrow. Okay. So I'm, like, similarly to Georgia, I don't want to get too invested because I was invested in 2019. Yeah. And it let me down.
Yeah.
It let me down.
But I think that's the joy of World Cup football with England. It's almost like a toxic relationship.
You never know how much it's going to hurt. You never know how much it's going to hurt.
We just want to just enjoy it for 5 minutes.
The red flags were always there.
Yeah.
But you underestimate how mentally unstable we all are. Can we handle more disappointment?
We really are the frenzy. Yeah. The frenzy at the moment.
You guys have just recorded an hour-long live show. Where can people listen to that?
On Spotify.
Yep.
On our own Spotify, Eco Frenzy Spotify, and then also on the URN podcast area feed.
Mm. Or just listen in live.
What time can they listen in live, though?
3 to 4pm on Saturdays.
Lovely.
Every Saturday.
Erin, your thoughts on the World Cup. Who's going to win?
So.
Because also, can I just say, you two haven't escaped the question. We're going to find out who you think is going to win. You guys just narrowed it down. So I also know you're probably going to say Iran aren't going to win, or Qatar. But, so that's 29 teams to go. But Erin, who's going to win?
So, I would love it an England win or a Welsh win. We know I have a couple players I like on the Welsh team.
She has a soft spot. I have a soft spot.
But I watched a TikTok video about who's going to win the World Cup.
Wonderful.
And he's the guy in the video, this is my, all of my research I've done on the World Cup. The guy in the video said, probably not going to be a European team because they've all been bad. So he went for a South American team. And I'm standing with him. I think it'll be South American. I'm going to go Argentina. Because why
Argentina,
not?
Argentina, Lionel Messi's final tournament, possibly. Gabby, who you got for 20?
I've similarly done TikTok research for this, to answer this question.
Does Gary Neville keep coming up on your TikTok too?
Of course he does. We have the same feed, Aaron.
Okay, good. Because I keep telling people, yeah, Gary Neville just keeps turning
just
up.
He's just there. He's just always hanging out on my feed.
sorry, I really needed to get that out. Everyone thinks I'm going mad when I say
no,
that.
No, she's not. Yeah, but are we just both mad? That's
but,
the question.
Georgia is the eco, you two are the frenzy. I think that
clearly
makes sense.
Clearly.
But you still have to skip the question.
We all dabble in frenzy.
South American team, I think it's going to be Brazil.
Brazil haven't won since 2002. Georgia.
I think it might be France.
Bonjour.
Ooh. Yeah. Rogue answer. Did I just Google it? Maybe. Maybe, but we'll never know.
I'm now going to be absolutely thinking, who was the last team to win it twice? Oh, right. I'm going to have to come back to that. Right. You guys are eco-friendly podcasts. You guys talk about the environment, what major events are happening. You guys aren't just focusing on just everything. You guys focus on everything, mm-hmm. whether it's world news, what people could do at home. World Cups are possibly the biggest sporting event in the world for 4 years, much bigger than the Olympics. 7.7 million people went to Russia for the last World Cup, and that was a small haul. Mm-hmm. What does it say about FIFA that they've gone to Qatar as an environmental standpoint? Now, footballing-wise, we all know it's a joke, but an oil-based economy, what does it say about FIFA's position on the environment?
They like money and little else. That's what it says to me.
Yeah, I think it says to me that it confirms all the stereotypes about football that I think that they're trying to move away. They're putting a big thing, and not just environmentally, but also human rights-wise, not that we're going to go into that too much, but I think it confirms all those negative stereotypes that I, as someone who doesn't engage in football that much, may have already held, that they just care about money, they don't really care about the environment, it's just sort of... it's just men doing whatever they want to do.
Face you've given me there was quite frightening. That was really aggressive, but I do know what you mean.
I think it's these things that football are violently trying to move away from. Mm. They're trying to open it up as a sport to everyone. I think the women doing the Women's World Cup doing so well, I think that really boosted female involvement in football. Amazing, love it. And then I think it feels like a step backwards to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like a step backwards.
This has been coming for quite some time. I think the draw was about 2010. And I think a lot of us in England thought, well, surely it's going to be us. We've got all the stadiums. We've got the best league in the world. To give it to Qatar, Georgia, do you know much about Qatar? Other than oil?
Other than oil, human rights violations.
Mm. Pretty homophobic, sexist. Yeah. But bar that, a that. Really good place to host a tournament.
Yeah, it doesn't really, I don't understand why. I understand, do Qatar, this is a general question, do the Qatar give FIFA money to host it?
For the UN lawyers, no they don't.
No they don't.
No they don't.
I just don't understand the benefit.
Allegedly.
Because that gets everything.
Yeah. But I don't understand the benefit to Qatar for them hosting it.
So it brings them a lot of money, but I do agree, if you're in the normal-based economy, it's surely going to be fine.
Yeah.
But I think it's bringing them to the international stage, because had anyone heard of Qatar before 2010?
Yes.
Probably not. Go on, please.
I would say it kind of falls into the conversation people have a lot of the time around the Olympics, which is this actually worth it for the economy?
Yes.
Because a lot of the time it turns out it isn't. It can give really good PR to a country, which maybe Qatar are feeling like they needed, maybe especially in 2010, because they are known basically just for oil. But they do probably want to show off a bit, be like, oh, aren't we such a great place? Doesn't everyone want to be like us? However, I feel like they're going to fall into the same trap. I think, I could be wrong here, I think it was the Brazil Olympics that they actually lost a lot of money from. They really struggled afterwards. Mm. And you can just, there are so many things on several different Olympics where this has happened. The stadiums just get abandoned. I've been to one in Barcelona. I can't remember what year, but they had Olympics, I think, sometime in the 90s.
Oh, 92.
Yeah. So they had a stadium, and you can go visit it. There's, like, a museum there. But it's just this crumbled down stadium. It's not usable. You can just stand and look at it. Yeah. And I think Qatar is probably going to fall into that same trap, because I can't imagine more things are going to want to be held there after this.
Yeah, well, interestingly, so I looked into what is going to happen with the stadiums. And obviously, I take all the information that comes out of Qatar with a pinch of salt.
Indeed, yeah.
For various reasons, which over the course of this, I'm sure we will go into. But with regard to stadiums, there was a report published to say that the stadiums are going to be taken down and donated to places that need them and reuse, and then the smaller ones will be kept for their regional sports games and things like that. But again, I take everything that comes out with a pinch of salt. Like, I will believe it when I see it, because we hear about, not just from Qatar, but also from lots of these events. You know, we did a big episode on COP26, which is available on the Eco Frenzy Spotify.
Nice plug.
Thank you very much. Where the, you know, COP26, which was like an environmental thing, all there, the place that it was held, loads of stuff just went to landfill. All the
there was the IKEA furniture.
The IKEA furniture, which we've heard, you know, they said they would be donating it all, but I have looked into it to see if I could find any evidence of that being done, and it hasn't. So, you know, Qatar have said that the stadiums will be, some, the ones that are taken down will be donated and put up in other places that need them. A great idea. Believe it when I see it.
Yeah, totally agree. We talked a bit about England previously in 2010, thought they were going to be the model country to host it. Think of all the massive stadiums we've got in this country. Mm-hmm. Think of the construction it would take to build, say, 7 or 8 stadiums. How bad is a stadium to the environment? Because surely the amount of equipment that needs to be built is, I believe, cement and concrete, some of the worst contributors.
Yes. Yeah.
So can you maybe inform us football fans how bad a stadium could be?
I think Georgia and Gabby know more on like the actual numbers-wise stuff than I do. But in general, you know, the little slogan that everyone knows with the environment is reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yeah.
And they should be done in that order. You reduce your consumption, you reuse things as much as you can, and then you recycle, because you don't want to be creating waste. And so creating 7 or 8 purpose-built stadiums, yes, if they're being taken down afterwards, but then you're going to have the construction all over again somewhere else. Mm. So it's somewhat pointless to be doing in the first place, to be honest. And it's like kind of doubles the impact of it, because it's transporting the materials, because I'm guessing a lot of the materials aren't going to be made in Qatar, they're going to be imported things. So then you've got all the shipping costs and stuff like that, and shipping stuff internationally is really, really bad for the environment. That's, you know, one of the big sort of outputters, just transport in general. And if it's going long haul, then obviously it's going to take up a lot of energy. So kind of from a, without even going into the numbers of it, you can already tell it's not going to be great, because we're creating something new, which sounds lovely, but it's not, whenever you create something new, like, there's so much waste that comes along with that. Whereas
especially something of the scale,
The state of, they're massive,
it's
they're
not
all,
just one,
they're going to make 40,000 people.
I don't know if I was being naive in not being that involved in the World Cup. I thought it all happened in the same stadium.
Oh, bless. I thought everyone took the same.
Yeah, everyone was like, because I don't know. I think I underestimated the impact. Yeah. I think I underestimated the impact that it has on the country that hosts it. Whether that's Qatar, whether that's the UK, you know, whatever. But I was like, oh, well, it's just a football stadium.
Yeah, just the one.
They just play football there.
I think that's very easy, because if you think about the absolute mess that happened for the Olympic Stadium that now West Ham use, which, is, to be fair, they've had an event there, they've now repurposed it, and it's sort of reuse, reduce, recycle. Now they're just having 7 new stadiums. Think of all the concrete, the plastic seats, and all that. I will say there's one positive.
The wrapping's
a very good point.
Sorry, I just have to... We were talking about this earlier.
Yeah, everything will be
all of those plastic seats will have had a plastic
wrapping
film
on
them that you will have to peel off.
Didn't think about that.
I'll also put out that during my research, each individual seat in all the stadiums is air-conned. that come apparently out from underneath.
Yeah.
Dom suddenly realizes why eco-friends are miserable all the time.
Why host it in that country?
But
I have to say, what they've said to try and mitigate that is that all of the aircon is going to be solar panelled.
Yes,
like powered. I thought it was going to be human power at one point.
It's Qatar, so, you know.
But also, like, how can they prove, like, they can build solar panels and, like, say, oh, yeah, this is how we're using it, ooh. But, like, the amount of solar panels that would require to power air conditioning, like, I don't know how many seats there are on these.
So the smallest is 40,000.
Yeah, so.
Which is times that by another 10,000 to the local biggest stadium, the City Ground. Probably about, I'd say, Ellen Road for football fans, that's about the size of that. Now, they've had to build that, put an aircon for the players, the pitch, the actual stand. I didn't realise that.
The staff.
Wow.
The staff, the changing rooms. And also, I would say that something that I'll like point out as well is when we were talking about the building of the stadiums, the amount of workers who have sadly lost their lives in the buildings of the stadiums, I just thought important to bring up as we're discussing it. Because that may not have an environmental impact, but that is an impact that is to the, like I said, these are seven stadiums. I thought there was one. And I was like, oh, okay, wait. So times everything I was thinking bad by seven.
Times by seven. And we have talked about the sort of humanitarian and homophobic problems with the Queerest and Dearest episode, which is still available on your own 1350.net/podcast. We really do recommend. But like we said, this is going to be a environmental base, but we need to discuss that people have lost their lives for us to watch football, which doesn't seem right. And the amount of
to have aircon seats, people have lost their lives for us to sit there.
I use the royal us.
To sit there in air-conditioned seats while they claim that that the Qatar World Cup will be carbon neutral.
How possible is a carbon neutral World Cup, Georgia?
I mean,
without swearing, please.
I would put, like, you know, the old phrase, if pigs could fly,
if pigs could fly, maybe.
But it's just the fact that because they're building everything from scratch, that means all of the like virgin materials that they're using, everything has to be made from scratch with new materials. I highly doubt that they're recycling. They're using recycled plastics for the seats or anything like that. I know they're using shipping containers for one of the stadiums.
Which is what I was going to bring up. This is possibly the one small light of positivity. Yeah. So one stadium is being sort of, a lot of it, not all of it, is through shipping containers, which is sort of create the structure of it, which is reducing it as a sort of nod to their shipping container history, apparently. I didn't realise Qatar were famous for their shipping containers. Is that a positive, and could we maybe see that in stadium designs in the future? Maybe a bit more reduce, reuse, recycle in a stadium? Is that possible? Everyone's giving.
I'll give them brownie points for that one.
Yeah.
One brownie point.
One brownie point. That sounds nice. Brownie point. It's interesting because also these are all pubs built stadiums. I can imagine they're all very formulaic. So it's going to give it some personality, which I like in a stadium anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Sorry. That's the most. I was so happy with that opinion. That really made me smile.
Yeah.
Because you know how much I hate sort of IKEA bowl stadiums. Right. Sorry. That's completely off topic.
No, but it makes sense though. You know, it's nice that it has a nod to their history. It's a nice. It's nice that it's reusable. I'm a very cynical person. We all know that. We all know that I am.
Yeah.
It feels like a PR stunt.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, it just feels like
it feels like a slap
Because
the face.
If you're using shipping containers for one, why are you not using shipping containers for more than one? We have a massive amount of unused shipping containers globally. It's because you see, I mean, my train on my way home to my hometown, I go past a shipping container graveyard.
Really?
Yeah. Just shipping containers.
I had not a clue that this was a big thing.
Neither did I until this my train from Nottingham to Rugby is I go past it and thinking, what is that? What's that? You know, I'm tip tapping away on my phone, find out it's a shipping, like we have these massive like shipping container graveyards because they rust. They're not looked after properly, they rust. So then they can't, and then they decide they can't use them anymore. So they could have obviously, I don't know the logistics of how many shipping containers it took to make the stadium.
Yeah.
But I would hope that we would be able to do more than one, which is why it just feels like a PR stunt.
Also, I would hope that they're recycled shipping containers. They're not shipping containers that have been made for the stadium.
It would be so Qatar to just build a... Yeah. I will say one positive note on shipping containers. Forest Green Rovers, now I'm sure you guys might not have heard of these guys. League One
They're
football.
They're all vegan.
All vegan.
Ooh,
all
it.
Carbon
Love
neutral.
That.
Yeah.
Love it.
And their club shop is in a shipping container.
And it's, yeah, great.
It's really, really nice. And I think it's not what you guys are sort of really put forward in your show. If you're creative, it is possible to be environmentally friendly.
Absolutely.
And I just don't think what Qatar have done is creative anyway, bar one out of... very bland stadiums, bar the one that looks like a female genitalia. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, go look it up on your phones. Go look it up on your phones. We can have a little break in recording. After a quick Google search, it does look like what we thought it did look
a
like.
A frog.
Yeah, a lovely, cute little frog.
Yes.
Lovely frog.
Lovely, environmentally
so
friendly
so
frog.
Environmentally friendly frogs.
Who's accepting of everyone?
Eco-friendly, environmentally friendly frogs.
You guys are all wearing a bit of green on you, so it's...
Yeah.
So are you.
Yeah, I brought my Art of Football Cluffy jumper.
You actually have to wear green to hang out with us. Mm. It's
it's
in our
legal requirement.
It's in our constitution.
It's in the eco-friendly constitution. You have to wear green to hang out with us.
Georgia... Now, football loves a stat man.
Yes.
Georgia, you're the stat man for this. Go.
I've got the stats. Okay, so this stadium is called Stadium 974, and that's because they use 974 shipping containers to build it.
Woo. Again, creativity really coming through.
Yeah. Well, and what they've said is they've used very cleverly. They've used converted shipping containers, and that the structure of the stadium is partly recycled. So that means says to me they are skating
around
the question about whether the shipping containers are actually recycled.
I'd argue if they were recycled, they would be everywhere.
It would say everything.
So maybe this goes for a wider point on consumerism. If it doesn't explicitly say it's proper recycled, and it's sort of alludes to go, yeah, of course, yeah. Is that a little, not a red flag, but an amber flag to you guys?
It's what we like to call greenwashing.
Greenwashing.
Yes. You should listen to the many eco-friendly episodes.
This is the second washing we've had. We've had gay washing on the previous podcast, all about how rainbows and whether if rainbow laces is that actually doing anything and all that. Now we've got greenwashing. What's greenwashing for us football fans, please?
I would define it as it's when companies do things like put them in the colour green, right? If you have a product and you make the packaging green, the colour, it looks more environmentally friendly. If you say this is eco-friendly, stuff like that, there are a lot of buzzwords that companies use which don't actually mean anything because there isn't a legal definition of it. So companies can get away with it. So they can call something sustainable and it won't be because there's no sort of legislation to back it up with like the advertising agency people.
Yes. Yeah, it's really common in clothing brands, so H&M being the big one for greenwashing, particularly at the moment, of just that they're saying, oh, our clothes are such and such percent recycled, but then you look at the little star next to it, the breakdown of it, and it's a very, very small proportion, and they blow it up to pretend that it's all of their stuff. And that's sort of similar, seems to be what's happened with the shipping containers. They've used three ones that are recycled and then have said that it's reused when it's not all of them, or it's only a small percentage.
Mm. It doesn't look good. Any more stats from Stadium 974?
No, not that I can...
Is it literally just that's all they've got?
That's all they've got out there. They have got, it's very interesting actually, on their website, they've got like their sustainability commitments, which I thought might be quite interesting to quickly go over, because this is what they've said they're going to do. And again, it's very interesting the way they skate around things. So they've said that they are working towards a 4-star certification from the Global Sustainability Assessment Centre for Sustainable Building.
Keywords in that, working towards. They've not got it.
This you know when like a teacher breaks something down for you, like Shakespeare. This
feels
like you've got the
highlights
out.
Language analysis. Yeah. I'm about to get my whiteboard out.
Go for it.
Yes. We've talked about this a lot with COP26 actually, and basically they were going to phase out coal or something like that, and it was all these companies agreed they're going to phase out, and then they changed the wording to phase down. Phase down and phase out sound the same, they mean completely different things, because phase down, you can achieve that by reducing it by 1%. Phase out means you're working towards zero. Mm. And I think that's what Qatar are doing here, is they're being careful with their wording to keep it vague.
Yes.
Because this is one of the really big problems with countries in general when it comes to the environment, is they have all these promises that you can't actually measure properly and they can't be held accountable to it.
Yeah. I think this is the big thing with Qatar, is that also, even if they were blatantly not being sustainable, who is going to call them out on it? Effectively.
Yeah. Yeah,
they may get called out, but who would hold them accountable? I don't think anyone's going to do that.
Yeah, it's all about performative, like, greenwashing at the start, try and get good PR on their side, show that they're trying to make gains towards it. But at the end of the day, after this World Cup ends, and 10 years' time, 20 years' time, no one is going to care, like, in the sense that no one's going to be checking, no one's going to go, oh, yeah, Qatar, by the way, you didn't do what you said.
And if they do, what's the repercussions?
Yeah, no repercussions, nothing. Because at that point, everyone's going to be focusing on whatever World Cup it is.
Yeah.
That year, going, yeah. What are God, you doing with your system? Yeah, literally. Yeah. Yeah. So everyone's always working towards the next one, but no one's checking up on the ones that have already gone. And then that's the big issue with the Olympic stadiums, is no one checks up on them.
I think also this greenwashing that Qatar seem to be particularly focusing on, like if you go on their website, it is splashed all over their website, you know, saying that they are going to be the most environmentally friendly World Cup in history, is a quote from their from their website.
How do you measure that?
Yeah.
But yeah, first of all, how do you...
Compared to like 1930 or 1934.
Yes. Where they all went on boats, which is arguably the most environmentally.
Yeah.
Only 8 teams instead of 32.
Yeah, and all of these things. So first of all, how do you measure that? And second of all, is this a distraction from other problems in Qatar?
Yeah.
Are they, you know, forcing this greenwashing almost down our throats a bit? It's everywhere on there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another one that they say, sustainability has been at the heart of the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 from the very start.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is why your economy is based on oil.
Yeah, as has, you know, alleged human rights violations.
Yeah. I'm glad they're recycling, you know, apart from that horrible human rights record. Right, literally. We're going to move on to maybe this, in fairness, is a positive. Due to the size of Qatar, it's a tiny country, you are able to have all your stadiums in one city. Now that does mean you can use public transport, walk, cycle, whatever it may be, to different games, different stadiums, and stay in a hub. Compare that to Russia, where one stadium, I will get the name of this, oh, I cannot pronounce that, I'm not even going to attempt that. It's 3,048 kilometres apart, the two widest stadiums in the last World Cup. Compare that to now, where all can be done within 1 hour of public transport. That is surely a benefit, yeah?
Yes.
Yes.
But are they using public transport?
Well, I think with the World Cup, it is designed, they've got a sort of tram system, a monorail. Gary Neville was very pro on it, and it's Gary Neville.
Not Gary Neville again! He's haunting me.
It's free. If you have a ticket to the World Cup, it is free. So you can apply for it's called a Haya card, H-A-Y-Y-A. And it's a fan ID that offers free public transport around Doha and also acts as your visa entry to the country. So you will have it anyway. It's not a separate thing you have to apply for. You'll have it anyway. So that encourages people to use public transport. And also, you have very limited options in Qatar of using other transports. Say if you drove over from another country into Qatar, they actually don't let foreign vehicles.
Oh, do they not?
They're not, over the period of the World Cup, they're not letting foreign vehicles through.
Mm. Is that surely going to mean more people are going to have to fly in?
Yes.
Yeah, but you can be dropped off at the border and then take public transport.
Oh, okay.
There are other issues with the idea of saying in Qatar that there are people who are having to leave the country because it's so expensive to be there. So if you have tickets for one game and then a few days later people are having to leave and re-enter the country, and obviously that's using, whether you use public transport or whether you are driving or whatever, you drive over to neighbouring countries, that's still travel, that's still carbon emissions, rather than you spending time in Qatar and spending time in Doha. And also then you're engaging in the local economy and things like that, but people aren't doing that because it is so expensive to just be there, and they've also got very strict COVID regulations are around at the moment.
And speaking of those like extra travelling, so Qatar Airways is going to operate an additional 160 extra flights per day during the period of the World Cup to and from Doha.
Can you maybe put that in perspective? How bad is one singular flight, would you say? Let's say from... Okay,
that's quite a big question. That's quite a question. Just from where to where, just what point?
Bad.
Just, but it is the worst form of transport.
Flying is the worst thing that you can do. Flying is the worst thing that you can do, pretty much, unless you are physically pouring oil into the ocean yourself.
Yeah. I think they actually put that in their bid to pour oil.
So, part of the opening ceremony.
So they get these, but things like these gains of public transport, and I think that the free public transport, I think that's an excellent idea. Yeah. I love that you don't have to apply for a separate car.
They've made it easy, and that's such an important thing with the environment, is if, and just changing people's minds in general, you need to make it easy for them, and they need to get something out of it, or people aren't going
to
change.
Yeah, it needs to be easy, and it needs to be accessible, and they've made the public transport easy and accessible. However, the gains from that seem to be offset by everything else, which I think is such a shame, because I, you know, I love that free public transport, I think, is amazing. Everyone big up the Hopper bus. Everyone big up Luxembourg and the Hopper bus.
The Hopper bus, love that.
We do love the Hopper bus.
You know, free public transport is excellent. It is very environmentally friendly. If you need to travel in a car or bus or whatever, free public transport is the way you want to go. But it's a shame that the gains being made by the accessibility of the public transport is offset by the fact that people can't spend more than 2 days in Qatar because they physically can't afford it.
Yeah, yes. It's not, for a fan perspective, which I sort of operate on, it's a horrible World Cup to go to. Welsh fans who've been dreaming of this since 58 are morally questioning should they go due to the human rights, the actual politics of Qatar, the environmental issues also coming up. Obviously, it's not as potent for them, but they can still consider it. Mm. You actually look at where Qatar is, it's really hard to get to for most countries that have actually qualified. Look at the amount of European teams. You can't quite get... Scotland fans, traditionally, now I know they haven't qualified for a World Cup since 98, they'd get a bus. They'd get a bus and drive to wherever it was. That's included Argentina in the past.
Yeah.
But there's no sort of way other than flight or really long... shipping, it's just flight or nothing.
Because you can't, I don't think anyone has the disposable income to take that much time off work.
Yeah.
I mean, the regular person football is meant to be the working class sport. Mm. And yet it's not accessible to the people who enjoy it. It's not accessible to the people, like you said, you know, the Scotland fans, that very environmentally friendly of them to take a bus together all the way there. It's great. It's, you know, it's good for morale. It's cheap. It's all of these things. It will be an important factor in people's lives as well. It'll be important moments for them. I think I may not be a massive football fan, but I think if I had the opportunity to go to the World Cup and then suddenly found out it was in Qatar and that opportunity was taken away from me, I think that that's really hard.
Well, when I figured it out that it was going to be just at the end of what I thought would be my second year at university, it's going to have to move it to Christmas because it's too hot to play football there. Great place to put a game. I was really devastated because I just knew it wasn't possible. If it was, say, France, which is very accessible to most of Europe, very much accessible to North America and Africa too, maybe Asia, it's a bit difficult, but it would have been possible. This is simply not possible for me.
I would argue that is why rugby is a great sport, because the World Cup is in France next year.
Only eight teams play it. Wonderful. Yeah. One thing that could be argued is that there'll be a lot less fans going to this World Cup due to the politics, due to the accessibility of this. That might have That might have a less aggressive effect on the environment through all the flights and all the drink bottles and all that. I don't think 7.7 million would go. I'd be impressed if half of that went. Is that a benefit? I don't know. How do you guys feel about that? That less people would be going to this event?
I would say humans are going to make waste anyway.
Mm.
I think it's easy to say, yes, there are less people there, so it's not going to be as big an impact. But that's just in Qatar. There's still going to be the people who didn't go. I saw the thing where, you know, I think it's France have banned outdoor screenings. So they're not going to do big screenings of the World Cup in certain places because as a protest, I think it was France, I read. And I was looking at that, I was like, oh, that's kind of nice, maybe. You're not going to have big groups of people. You know, as you were saying, drinks, bottles, that sort of waste, rubbish just gets left about in all of those situations. But people who are going to go watch it, they're going to watch it anyway. They're going to watch it at home. There's the electricity, use their television. They're going to go out and buy food. They're going to do things like that.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's actually that different. I think, yes, the flights are going to be the main effect that we would see is when they fly over, because that's the only abnormal part of behaviour. The rest of it is exactly what they're going to do, just in a different country. Okay. So I'm not sure you can actually say it's better or worse, because you have to remember that people are still watching it.
Yeah.
Yes. But also a half... filled flight will still fly.
That's a very good point.
Yes.
That's
a very good point. A half-filled flight will still fly, and a half-filled stadium will still exist.
The damage is already done.
Damage is done.
Yeah.
They've already agreed to such and such amount of extra flights. Those flights will go, even if there's just one person on them.
Yeah.
The pilot.
Yeah, the pilot, even if it's just the pilot on it, because they've committed to that in the idea that they'd have, I think you said, 7 million people is what they are aiming for, and they've created the flights for that and the stadiums for that amount of people. So even if there's less people go, technically on the surface you go, oh yeah, no, that's, you know, more environmentally, but a flight with one person on it will still fly.
Yes, and you've got to think of all the resources that a country like Qatar needs to bring in, because they don't grow much of their own food, they don't have a high amount of water source. All of the things they brought in to anticipate 7.7 million people, they're not going to go, oh, we've got all of this food or we've got all this water, let's do something with it. They're just going to throw it away because food will go off. It's all going to get, it may create more waste in a weird way because people aren't using it.
Also, the resources for fans that do go, they've had to hastily build hotels because Qatar could simply not hold that many tourists. They're looking at doing tents and sort of a camping, like a sort of protected camping scheme in the desert.
Ooh.
Which, how would you guys feel about that? Would you like to go to Qatar and sleep in the desert? Yeah?
I'll be honest, kind of sounds like a fun experience. Definitely memorable. I quite like camping though.
Mm.
I haven't done it in many years, so maybe that's why I still like the idea of it. But
the Erin podcast.
No, but I think it's definitely something that, if done well, could be good. But you look at a lot of festivals where they have camping, and you know, it's kind of a complete waste. There's so much rubbish, so much single use things like tents people will only use once because they break or they don't need it anymore. So it's very much, as long as you're doing it well with the environment actually in mind and you are reducing, reusing and recycling as much as possible, then I don't have a problem. But it's the creation of waste for the sake of it where I take issue.
Yeah, there's also issues of, again, when I was looking into the food and drink side of it, it's obviously Qatar, there's no alcohol. You're not allowed to drink alcohol. Absolutely, it's fine.
Yep.
But they've brought in lots of non-alcoholic beers and things like that, and they have a very strict policy of that you are not allowed to bring anything into the stadium at all. You can't even bring like an empty water bottle to fill up with water.
Oh really? I think
they've put a blanket ban on any of that.
Georgia has genuinely let her head back. As if like this sort of dramatic wartime film.
Yeah.
I can't do this anymore.
You know, on the food and drink side of it, they're bringing in it's non-alcoholic Budweiser was the one that they mentioned.
Which football fans all love.
Yeah, love it, great. And also the not bringing in of anything from the outside into the stadiums. Obviously, we have those rules here in England as well, but you could bring an empty water bottle and fill it up. You know, I was at Reading Festival. I could bring an empty water bottle into the stadium and fill it up.
And I feel like a lot of stadiums in the UK nowadays, or concert venues even, have the reusable cups they use. Yeah. So you pay
Cricket is a great example.
Cricket as well. So it's kind of, you pay a £1 deposit normally, and then you get your £1 back when you go hand them in. I don't know if Qatar are doing that. If they are, great. If not, look into it.
Yeah, because they're not going to be putting things in glass, I would imagine, because that's a safety issue.
Really avoid glass at football.
Yeah, and do they, again, I've not been to a football match, so
we'll change this. We'll take you down Notts County.
Yeah, why not?
Notts County's fun.
Oh, why not? do they allow cans?
No, cans are a big no-no.
Because they can be mused. Yeah. So it's all plastic bottles.
You can make a shank out of them.
Oh. Shank.
I didn't think that. Grain. That's why I questioned.
Literally, the thing with football fans, I'll defend them to the hills. And Erin and I watched Welcome to Wrexham, and I got quite defensive over the portrayal of hooligans. And like that is not, they're like showing Eastern Europeans. But England fans at World Cups have a horrible record of alcohol. So maybe this is a positive of not having alcohol. But what at what cost again?
Yeah, they're going to be. Is it all going to be housed in a plastic bottles?
Yes,
isn't it?
It will. And we can almost guarantee that. We can all. I will put 99% on the fact that it's going to be in plastic bottles.
So all of the drinks are in plastic bottles.
Yeah.
Think about how many plastic bottles that is. For reference to all of the maybe less environmentally headed people, one plastic bottle takes 450 years to decompose. So think about that. Yeah. So how many
next
bottles
time we
have
go
they...
to Tesco and you get some Coke?
Well, cheers, eh?
Not in a can.
I'm going to have to get them in cans now. Yeah. 450 years.
Just for one plastic bottle to decompose. And how many plastic bottles are going to be? Because they're going to have water, maybe soft drinks, beer, non-alcoholic
diet
beers,
soft drinks.
Seven stadiums worth.
Yeah, of that stuff.
Again, and it's seven stadiums worth.
I want to say 164 games or something mad like that. Yes. Just to put this in context.
164 games?
It's 32 teams.
Is it 164? No, that's how many goals there are. Sorry, that's how many goals there usually are. That's the average. We're not doing the maths, but just put it in context.
because I've just come into this completely on an environmental standpoint. You know, the most football fan I spoke to was my own dad, who I rang this afternoon just to get his point of view
He's invested.
He is invested.
64, so I was only 100 off in fact.
64, I'm still,
a lot
shocked. Yeah. Because I think I just went into it being like, oh, it's just a bit of football.
Yeah, just a bit of football.
They have the semi-finals, then the finals, right?
Yeah.
I love that optimism from new wave England fans. Also, just to put your stat into context, a plastic bottle would have had to start its life to degrade now under the reign of Elizabeth I before the Spanish Armada in 1572.
Yes. Yes.
That's scary.
So and that was before plastic was invented.
None of the plastic.
Sorry, didn't mean to like burst
the
eardrums.
None of the plastic that has ever been created has ever biodegraded.
God, how do you guys do this on a weekly basis? I'm not talking about forest.
That's why our show's only an hour.
Yeah, we said we were mentally unstable. It's for a reason.
Yeah. We're just miserable.
Yeah, wow. I really
should... That's why I'm so cynical about everything.
If you ever need to be brought down a bit, listen to Eco.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. No, we keep it lighthearted,
really
I promise.
We try to keep it lighthearted. But
3 till 4
hard.
Every Saturday. If you really just want to, you know, feel a bit guilty
about
everything.
We do a bit of eco and then we do a bit of frenzy.
Right.
Yes.
Let's talk about fans at home. Now, Welsh and English fans will be watching their teams at the World Cup. Lots of students. We know the Notts in Wales boys. Mm-hmm. Ben will be listening. Yes, we're mentioning Wales before England. Well done, mate. And then all the England fans that many more outnumber you, Ben. But let's talk about
just you, Ben.
And Patrick, to be fair. What can fans at home do to make a more environmentally stable World Cup? Because obviously, new kits come out. You want to have a drinks party. Is going to the pub better? What would you guys recommend for the World Cup?
Walk to the pub?
Yes. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Number one, reduce. So, quite simply, don't buy food you don't need. We always talk about this around Christmas time.
Take a pack lunch to the pub. Don't overbuy...
No, but don't overbuy food for the sake of it. Don't overbuy drinks for the sake of it. Well, actually, no, drinks don't go off, so it's a lot easier. Mm-hmm. Be careful with what you're buying. Also, it saves you money. Just take a couple seconds. Are you going to eat 5,000 sausages? Probably not. So don't.
I actually will. Erin?
That's really a dig at one of my housemates who has 40 sausages.
Oh, that actually wasn't.
What?
That wasn't, but it is now.
For the World Cup or just in general?
No, he bought them in April.
Are we sure they are safe to eat?
Yeah, it is freezer. Yeah. Trust me.
Georgia, we don't need to go into their meat consumption in that house.
Just a shout out to Matt there. But yeah, food.
So food is a big one. that is really easy to reduce your waste. I mean, you could not eat as much meat if you wanted to, but I know for football fans that might be a bit of a scandalous suggestion.
Can I just shock you? 1/5 of football fans across the Premier League have improved their diet to help the environment. That was the big headline. They changed quinoa from steak pies. Does that make you feel bad?
No.
Okay, cool.
I love it. Makes me happy.
It makes us happy. It's very rare to bake the eco friendly happy. We all just went, aww.
Isn't that
wonderful?
Cute.
That's cute.
Yeah, I'd say watching together with people is probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Because if you're watching one TV, that's only one TV turned on.
Mm.
Save on the electricity bill, which I know is something everyone's looking for these days.
Yeah.
I think make it a social event. Why not? It, as I said, it reduces. Recycling properly is a big one because you are going to, you know, if you're meeting up with people, it's going to create waste. But so just recycle properly when you can and when it is allowed.
Yes, and this is to recycle properly, to everyone out there who might not know, you need to wash out all of the things that you recycle, because if there is remnants of food, drink, whatever left in your can, bottle, whatever, it will not get recycled.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. It simply will not get recycled.
You have to rinse everything.
Everything has to be clean.
What about squishing things?
Squishing things is fine, yeah, as long as you've cleaned it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So clean it, then squish it.
And actually, squishing things is more environmentally friendly, because you've got to think at you're reducing the amount of space that that thing takes up.
I am winning so many arguments back at my house. This is wonderful. Keep this coming.
Yes.
What I have written down on this point is try not to be a littering hooligan.
Can that please be the message of this episode?
You know those Stone Island boys, where they drop their Twix packets?
Yeah. Try not to be a littering hooligan, and making a point about smoking cigarette butts. Really rad. Like, because obviously people sit outside at the pub to watch it. Fine, great, having a great time. A lot of people will smoke and will not properly dispose of their cigarette butts afterwards. And this is a general issue, but obviously the volume will increase when you're squeezing everyone into a pub to watch a football game. So if you are smoking, to try and recycle your cigarette butts properly, there are schemes you can get where they send you like a little tin, and you like fill the tin up with the cigarette butts, and you send it off to them and they recycle
it. I had
no
idea about
it. And things like that, so you don't just drop them on the floor. And then I also had written down, when you're at a pub, like you pick a pub to watch it, often at big events they will change to plastic cups.
Mm-hmm.
If they have lots of people there, try and pick somewhere that doesn't do that.
Okay, that's a good point.
Do you know what I mean? So to continue to use the glass, go somewhere where they continue to use glass cups.
This might be a bit crazy.
Ooh.
Do you think a pub would let you bring your own cup?
I think if it was one of those like sort of a Thatcher's gold one, and it looked like it would have been from behind the bar, I'm sure they won't notice, because in the melee of like life, they're not going to go, I don't recognise this one.
Yeah, I don't recognise this.
But you know, like how with coffee shops, you bring your own mug and they just fill it up. Do you reckon you could just go with like your...
I think people might be a bit wary about pints.
Well, you get a pint-sized one.
I think the glass thing is more of a safety
thing.
Oh, definitely.
And a washing thing too.
And a washing thing. And I think I think if there was one of you bringing your own glass to somewhere that was doing it with plastic, they'd probably be fine with it.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I was thinking more of the thermos bottles.
Just a pint in a thermos bottle.
I love that. But you know the you know my pink thermos cup?
Yes, because I'm sure all the listeners, if they think it's all Doha, know your pink thermos
bottle. We're going to have to attach a little photo of it.
For the social media release.
For the social media release. Of just, this is Erin's pink thermos cup.
FYI.
Sorry, I just had the idea.
I think many people have that sort of conical sort of
It's quite a common thing.
Yeah.
Or you could get the plastic ones, like the cricket ones, and they do at big events like that.
Yeah.
If you brought it with you, I don't know, they probably will take issue with it because that's the way the world is.
Mm.
But I get that. But it's just
so
interesting.
Is it better to stay at home with 6 or 7 of your mates, watch the game, or would you recommend going to a bigger event where maybe at a pub?
Depends. How are you getting?
Say you're walking.
Okay, if you're walking, fine. The pub's going to be on and showing it anyway, so it means you're not using your own electricity,
true,
which I'd argue is good.
And heating.
And heating.
Because the World Cup is now being held in December, so you will have to have your heating on.
Yeah. But it depends what you're consuming at the pub.
Okay.
So I think it is kind of a case-by-case basis. I don't think there's that big a difference.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'd agree on that. I think the difference can be made personally rather than like the difference being made, like picking a pub where they don't use plastic cups even at large events and things like that.
Yeah, I think the best that we can ask is just to have a maybe a little bit of thought for the environment when you are planning your events. It doesn't have to be like super major, like you walk into the pub, you see that they're using plastic cups and you go absolutely not and drive somewhere else.
Or you if they are using a plastic cup, take it back to the bar and get them to refill it rather than them giving you a new one.
Makes a big difference. Literally, if you even if you just reuse your cup three times, like that's better than
only
not
using it once.
Yeah, it's not like you change your entire life, it's doing little things. Yeah, like you said, just walking to the pub then also means you don't have to have a designated driver.
We often have the message of do what you can when you can.
Because obviously we're all students here, and I think we could all agree sometimes the more environmentally foods or products is a little bit, and you well maybe they're greenwashed now. I've learned from this wonderful podcast, it's been so good, I've learned so much. But they seem to be a bit more pricey. It's a little bit
The problem with greenwashing is because then you can up your prices and you're doing nothing.
It's called the green tax.
Green tax on everything. But I don't know,
sort of like the pink tax.
We always have the like the motto, it's like do what you can but don't be miserable. Don't stop yourself going to the club because they serve things in plastic cups and things like, you know, because at the end of it, like
just
so
drink
we were all
beforehand.
Just pre-drink really, really heavily.
There is one thing that I think everyone could do which wouldn't make people's lives miserable is don't chew gum, because gum is single-use plastic after all.
Is it?
Yes,
gum is
it is.
Terrible.
Yeah. So that could be one thing that, like, I don't think if someone decided, you know, for the whole of the World Cup, I'm not going to chew gum, that's not going to negatively impact.
As a little, like, Lent to
literally.
Not to apologise for, but to, you know, do your little bit Qatar has done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Say, yes, I'm going to watch this World Cup, so therefore I am technically supporting it, and I know it's bad, but as a
I'm not going to chew gum,
I'm not
going to
chew gum.
I'm not going to drop my cigarette butts on the floor.
Yeah. I think we found the feature here. Right. Note this down.
Everyone. Write that down. Write that down.
Is this going on the idea list?
Also, World Cup kits. I assume you're going to, I'm going to guess, say here, buy maybe classic football shirts. Not only because they look cooler, but also because fast fashion is. So there's 64 different new kits for this.
Oh, God.
From 32 different countries. And that's not including goalkeeping kits.
Yeah.
I assume you're just going to say buy previously made ones.
Yeah, buy previously made ones, or just wear. Surely someone will have something at home. If you're a football fan, more likely than not, you're already going to have a shirt.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're literally wearing one right now. I don't know if that's... Is that a cricket top?
4 years old, or is that from Euro 96.
Exactly. Just wear that. Everyone knows. When I see that, it looks like England.
4 years old. Oh, yeah. Does that make me feel really old? Wow.
So old.
Yeah.
But like, that's an England top, and you look like you're supporting it. Like, most people have that already. Like, you don't have to buy the new kit because it's only going to be used once.
Also, the new kit is ugly.
Yeah,
thank
and
you,
also,
Eric.
If you buy the full kit and you're wearing
full kit...
No one
buys full kit. That's called FKW. I'll explain to you that what that means.
I know, but I'm not going to say it because
we're recording. Yeah.
So, overall, do what you can. And I think we'll return, hopefully, with what you're giving up for the World Cup as a sort of Lent thing.
Yeah.
We'll come up with a jazzy name for it. Has anyone got any good names off the top of their head? No?
No.
I think you guys are all quite tired post a live show and a really demoralising World Cup podcast. But yeah, so we've had Brazil are going to win the World Cup, or Argentina, not England was the main thing.
Yeah. Or France.
France might win it.
Hopefully Wales do well.
Why do you want Wales to do well?
Because I want to see Nico Williams on TV more.
Wow. Oh. Not Brennan Johnson, you know.
No, but I love Brennan. Yeah. But I love Brennan like a brother.
Love him like a brother.
Oh, and Nico, what are your feelings? Describe them. Yes. Describe your feelings in detail.
Oh,
both our parents are listening. Both my mum. Both your mum.
Oh, what's my mum and dad are listening too.
My parents aren't.
You know what's Erin, that she's gone. She's gone the same colour as the Wales home kit. That's the wonderful thing about this. I think that's where we're going to end. Thank you guys so much for doing this. How can people find your amazing podcast and live show?
So they can either listen in to urn1350.net. 3 to 4 p.m. every Saturday. They can find us on Spotify. Just search up Eco Frenzy. They can also the new episodes that we're coming out with this year are going to be on the general URN podcast feed, so they can look for us there, or they can follow us on Instagram.
We're very active on the Instagram.
You guys have an amazing
Instagram. EcoFrenzy URN is the Instagram.
Yeah, so if you want to get in touch with us about anything, you want to ask us questions, yes. You want to... Give us ideas, you want to come on the show, Instagram is the place to get in contact with us.
Wonderful, wonderful. Georgia, any parting words?
Can't stop, won't stop. That's our
lovely
attitude towards everything.
Sorry, no, that's Qatar.
Can't stop, won't stop. Yeah. That's us about our Instagram.
As well, answering can't stop, won't stop.
I've done two of these podcasts, like sort of going over with podcasts from URN about Qatar World Cup, and I've never felt more demoralised than after both of these. It's been a great time talking
You've
to you
seen us after our show. Yeah, it's always...
Yeah, you know miserable. What? People should send in, like, lovely messages to you three and saying you guys are doing a great job fighting the hard fight.
Gabby and I almost cried once because they did.
Yeah,
or there.
No, I like we were playing a song. Like we had to play a song because we got sent loads of nice messages and people being like, "Your show makes our day" and all this stuff. And me and Aaron literally teared up because it's just rough with Eco Frenzy.
It's rough out there.
It's really rough out
but
there.
But we're hopeful. We're hopeful.
Yeah.
Hopeful. And you know what? I would love to see Qatar doing great, you know?
Yes.
I don't want them to do bad. I know we've been talking about the issues this whole time. I don't want there to be issues,
you know?
So we're going to hope for the best, expect the worst.
High hopes, low expectations.
Yes.
That is also Gareth Southgate's plan. Thank you so much. Keep it locked and keep it URN.